Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Dean Hant of the Good Feet Franchise Opportunity. And did you know that nearly 90% of the population suffer from foot-related problems, most of which are caused by wearing improper footwear, walking on hard surfaces for long periods of time, sports injuries, or just being overweight? And we're going to talk about all that stuff on segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got an interesting show this morning.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm doing fine today, Marty. How are you this week?
Good, good. This is our first show of the summer, isn't it?
I guess it's now, what, officially summer, yeah.
Officially summer, yeah, you know. So, yeah. And I know we have some great shows lined up for the summer as well, you know. So it's just amazing. The year is just flying by, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Half the year's over. It's just incredible.
It's incredible. Our last show, though, we met with Justin Darlin of the Interstate Batteries franchise opportunity. And,
right.
Just great opportunity. I thought Justin was fantastic. You know, I always say, you know, it was a top 10 show, but I think that was definitely a top 10 show of all the shows we've done up to this point. You know, I mean, he was just a great guest, and I'd
right.
like to have a great franchise opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job on the show. And he mentioned they're a 57-year-old company in a $73 billion industry, and I'm pretty sure he said they're in all 50 states or
They just hit that milestone, you know, and you could tell he was very proud of that, you know, that they're now, and I think they're the only franchise opportunity in that industry that are in all 50 states. So I think they're the only
right.
ones that can say that, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a great story, too, wasn't it, how the gentleman that started the company, I mean, he was, like, pretty much selling batteries. Was it out of the back of his car or something like that?
Right.
He's been a real entrepreneur, you know, to do something like that. You know, and they got that nice history, 257 years that they've been doing this. So,
and very impressed with their training programs. Pretty
wow, that was
intense and lengthy program.
It was almost 200 hours. I think Justin was
yeah.
saying 194 hours
right.
Of training, you know. So that's pretty intense. I think that must be one of the records, you know, that we've had. On our show,
yeah.
when we talk about training. I mean, it's very, very intense. So
I was impressed with his answer on the characteristics that they look for in a franchisee.
Yeah, you can see they're selective. You know, I mean, they want, of course, you know, I mean, with all franchise opportunities, you do want it to be a match. You know what
right.
I mean? But, yeah, you can see they are pretty selective as far as who they choose for their franchisees or who they reward a franchise opportunity to, I should
right.
say. You know, they know everything too about their customer. Don, I was, you know, as being a marketing professor, you know, Justin was using words like psychographics, demographics, and things like that. And they really know everything about their customer. You know, they know how they buy, when they buy, and all that other stuff. And that information makes it very powerful and eliminates the guesswork for their franchisees. You know, I said, you know,
right.
you and I have said it a lot of times. You know, one of the many things that we love about franchising is. I always say you don't have to think as hard, you know, and again, of course you have to think and things like that, but you don't have to think as hard, you know, you can kind of put that trust into the franchisor knowing that they did a lot of the
right.
homework already, you know what I mean?
They can do everything in confidence, the program's in place,
yeah.
you just have to follow it, no shortcuts, you got to work hard and all that stuff, you got to, you know, make sure you're marketing and advertising and all that, but what am I thinking of? I guess the mistake percentage
mm-hmm.
is you know, is minimal because the franchisor
it is, yeah.
has already gone through that.
Oh, absolutely. This you know, I one of the things I like too. It's a lot of things I liked about this opportunity. You know, I always get excited after I hear our shows. You know, you know, it's just something about like these opportunities. Like even the show 2 weeks ago. You know, it was Tutor Doctor. You know, and I said, wow, what a great opportunity. And then you know, I listened to Justin of you know, Old Battery. Old State Interstate Battery. Just very, very exciting. I like the two revenue streams. They have retail and they have
right.
business to business, don't they? You know, and that's not always very common in franchising. Sometimes you either have one or the other. You know,
good
so,
point.
Yeah, it's a pretty big market too. We're talking $73 billion as far as their market goes, and.
And like, you know, we both have kids now, and just, you know, just, I mean, you need batteries for everything. It's just, it's
yeah,
important.
You do. There was a statistic, too. I'd have to go back to the website. I know, I thought they mentioned it on their website, that the average household has, like, about 22 items that you would need batteries for.
Yeah.
And they have, I mean, if you look at their inventory, I think it was, like, 16,000 different types of batteries. And the one thing that really stood out, you know, that Justin said was that if they don't have it, they'll make it for you. So,
right, they'll guarantee that they'll get
guarantee,
it. They'll yeah.
guarantee, you know, so it's a guarantee that they're you know, they're never going to say, no, we don't have that, you know. So I think this is
we have a house full of kids' toys, and
there
I'm always changing batteries every week.
I'm learning that too, you know. I mean, it's just it was one of the things we complained about when we had the baby was all the batteries that we're constantly buying now. It's just
yeah.
it's just amazing, you know. But it's part of our lives today. I mean, that's the trend that's taking place. Everything, you know, is going wireless, isn't it? You know, so
right.
Batteries are I think they're here to stay. They had some nice accolades too from was it that Franchise Business Review? We've mentioned them in the past. I think you might have even mentioned them in some of your articles for current events. I think for the second year in a row, they got they were somewhere in like the top 10 or 20 or something like that, you know. So, and that's a pretty strong endorsement because the Franchise Business Review, I mean, they deal with franchisees. They take a lot of surveys, and you can see that, that their franchisees are very, very happy.
Well, that's impressive, being in the top 20 or 25 with being 3,000 franchises. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, so he did a great job, and I would definitely love to have him back. And if you miss, you know, if you missed the show, you can go to franchiseinterviews.com and listen to. You can go to our Interviews of the Day page, and you can listen to our last five interviews. So, again, he did an incredible job, and we'll have him back. Here's some interesting news, Don, that I don't know if you know. I wanted to save it for the show, but we were voted one of the top podcasts. By the 2009 Best Small Business Podcast. That's done by Small Business Trends Radio. I was mentioning last week the success of our podcast. I mean, our podcast has really taken off.
Yeah,
you know,
it's great.
It's kind of like exploded through the internet, you know, and it just became a small part of the show initially. You know, I said, you know, why don't we have like, you know, little clips. You know, a lot of our guests say some really brilliant things sometimes. And I said, why can't we, you know, freeze those moments in time and just, if you can't listen to a 60-minute show, we'll listen to a 5-minute clip of a podcast. And
right.
I think we have about 16 in there. And some of them, I mean, you look at the numbers, you say, my God, you say, there's a lot of people listening to them, you know. So, So, I mean, that's
keep doing it. You know, it's working. It's helpful. It's you know.
Yeah, so I'd like to thank the guys at Small Business Trends Radio because they have they have a wonderful show. I mean, their show is very, very diverse. I was a guest on their show about 3 years ago, and I still listen to their show to date. So, I mean, to get that kind of accolade from, you know, Small Business Trends Radio, it really is pretty huge. I mean, they're one of the leaders, I think, in internet radio. So that was wonderful. So, yeah. So what do we got going on today, Don?
Meeting with Dean Hant, Good Feet Franchise, like we were just speaking about, and he'll tell us all about the products they have and how the products were designed by, I guess, experts, foot specialists, researchers.
Right. This is definitely different. It's a new one for our library, isn't it? We've had some great new ones, and when I say new ones, new categories for our library. I don't think we've had this type of franchise on the show in the 2.5 years we've been doing it, have we?
Yeah, definitely not.
You know, and I think Emmett Smith is their one of their sponsors, you know, I think he endorses the product as well. We'll have to talk to Dean about that as well. But I don't think Emma's calling in this morning, but we'll have to see if we can get Dean to have, when they come back on the show, you know, if we can get Emmett to come on the show. I think that would be incredible, huh? Because I think he was on the, wasn't he on the Dancing with the Stars? I don't know if you watch that. I know my in-laws and my parents watch it, you know, but I'm pretty sure he's on one of those dance shows too. I said, wow, what a great endorsement for Good Feet, you know, because as somebody who was on his feet a lot, wasn't he?
Yeah, Hall of Famer, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And next week we're going to have John Rando of who's it, John Rick Spaz, back on the show, you know, and really looking forward to that one. You know, I've heard a lot of great things about them. So, yeah, and I know you've been busy. You said you were up all night, going through newspapers. And
didn't get any sleep.
Yeah, your wife must want to kill you with all these. But what's going on in the world of franchising? Anything interesting?
Yeah, here's something, Marty. Entrepreneur.com, hooking and helping new franchisees. The troubled economy is a double-edged sword for franchisors. On one hand, many people who have lost their jobs or who simply want more control over their financial future are thinking about business ownership. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, many might feel that starting a business is more risky than ever now, and even those who are brave enough to take the plunge are having trouble getting the financing they need. But instead of sitting back and waiting for things to get better, many franchisors are actively seeking out new franchisees by finding creative ways to help them get started. Here's a rundown of what a few of the franchisors are doing to encourage and aid prospective franchisee. Church's Chicken has introduced a new modular concept that will allow franchisees to get their restaurants up and running significantly faster and for about $50,000 less than a traditional unit.
Wow. It doesn't say how they're doing it, right? Or it just,
no.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's something that I'd like to find out, how they're doing that, you know?
Right.
That's interesting.
That's a pretty good point. I mean, you know, besides the financing end of things, I mean, a lot of times when people have been downsized or out of work, sometimes the process is several months to get started. I mean, depending on your due diligence, it can be like a year or more. So you can cut down the time and get a business up and going to kind of get back on track.
That's interesting.
Your GNC is specifically seeking out people affected by the recession. Through September 30th, anyone who's been laid off can qualify to receive 25% off the sports nutrition chain's franchise fee.
Wow.
That's pretty big.
That's another clever one, isn't it?
That's a savings of thousands. Fast Signs is looking to bolster its ranks by recruiting owners of independent print shops whose experience should help them weather the current economic climate more easily. As an incentive, the company is offering reduced franchise and royalty fees. I do a lot of that with financing with different franchise companies. Instead of someone doing a complete startup, they buy an existing business in that same industry and convert it, calling a conversion to that franchise system. So now they have already a list of clients and cash flow, and now they're going to improve the business by attaching the franchise name and system onto it. Red Mango is going a step further with Red's Real Deal. Not only is the company lowering its franchise fee and promising $10,000 in local store marketing, it's also offering to buy back stores up to $275,000 if franchisees change their minds in the first 6 months.
Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah, that's.
Here are the benefits of competition. You know, I mean, it really is a great thing. You know how, you know, a lot of franchisors, I think we've seen it. I mean, they've really gone head-to-head with the recession, you know? I mean, they said, you know what? We're not going to let this stop us. We're going to think outside the box. And we've seen some really clever ideas from the franchise.
That's showing a lot of confidence in your product.
Absolutely.
And the franchisees thinking, well, they have an exit strategy that, you know, that could work for them. Planet Smoothie is going on tour with Franchise U, a program designed to educate potential candidates and ease their fears about franchising. Attendees who submit a franchise application will be eligible to win a $25,000 or $5,000 franchise fee discount.
Interesting.
Domino's is breaking in prospective multi-unit franchises with its new franchise and training program. Participants get 24 to 36 months of paid hands-on managerial training, and successful graduates receive $25,000 towards the opening of their first restaurant. Interesting things. A couple well-known franchises doing what they can to help a franchisee in a tough economy.
Absolutely. You know, what's going to happen is, you know, because their competitors are probably going to end up doing the same thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's really going to get the economy rolling again, too, I think. You know. So
right. Yeah, all that stuff helps.
Wonderful, yeah.
Here's something, Marty. Even in recession, we all scream for ice cream. You mentioned earlier about it's officially now summer.
Well, we're going to Rita's tonight, just so you know.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah,
good.
We'll be at Rita's tonight. So,
we have a place near us. It's called Ryan's Ice Cream.
Oh, okay.
So my son's name being Ryan, he's all excited every time we go there.
There you go.
This is by Tom Abate from Chronicle, staff writer out of San Francisco. As the economy clobbers some stores, ice cream parlors are scooping out a successful niche as recession-weary Americans indulge in what remains one of life's affordable pleasures. We're busy as ever on the retail side, said Linda Mitchell of Mitchell's Ice Cream, a family-owned business in San Francisco that makes its product fresh every day. Ice cream, while not as inexpensive as it used to be, is still low enough that families feel like they can treat themselves.
Hmm.
Just like you guys going out later on.
I mean, it's not very expensive, you know what I mean, to go out, you know, for ice cream, you know.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun, too.
It says here, Linda Utterback, publisher of the National Dipper, a trade magazine, which I think you're vice president of that, right, Marty?
I am.
They delivered to 15,000 U.S. frozen dessert parlors, said many operators tell her their sales are up 20%. A bad economy is always good for ice cream stores. It's a comfort food, says Utterback, who reckons that two-thirds of her readers are independents and the rest franchises. The recession has actually emboldened Haagen-Dazs to look for half a dozen new franchise locations in Northern California over the next 18 months, says Dawn Yurimovich, president of the company's store division, which is based in Minneapolis. There's a lot of great real estate out there, a lot of empty storefronts and high-traffic locations, she says, who thinks nostalgia explains why ice cream parlors succeed even in bad times. It goes back to memories of being a kid and licking on a cone, she said. Sometimes it's the simple things.
Right.
But for all its nostalgia, ice cream has become a global industry dominated by a handful of giant firms that sell most of their products through supermarkets, while parlors, whether independents or franchises, represent just a tiny fraction of total sales. Häagen-Dazs, for example, is a division of Oakland-based Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream, one of the leaders in an industry worth more than $9 billion annually. Dreyer's is itself part of the Swiss multinational Nestle. Didn't know all this about this company.
No,
this year, Dreyer's is celebrating the 80th anniversary of Rocky Road, a flavor that founder William Dreyer introduced in 1929, the year my father was born,
wow,
to put a smile on people's faces during the Great Depression, says company spokeswoman. That's interesting little history.
That is interesting. I told you, I learn
always,
something every single show,
yeah,
don't I? I mean, it's like it's great information.
No, I love Häagen-Dazs. It's great.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Here's something, Marty, all business. Why women make great franchisees. Goes on a little bit. Some women plan on becoming business owners practically as soon as they can talk, and others fall into it by happenstance. But the motivation is often the same. They want to escape the drudgery of working for someone else and make their own business decisions. Mary Ellen Sheets became an entrepreneur once her sons went off to college, leaving their after-school moving business behind. Before that, she was a systems analyst. It's a wonderful feeling, Sheets says, of running her business and watching it grow. It's so fun that it was not even working. She says one of the most rewarding things for her is being able to provide others with good jobs. She started franchising Two Men and a Truck in 1989, and the company now has about 190 locations.
Wow.
Because so many women have already spent years in the workforce, by the time they're ready to take the leap, becoming a franchisee is a great way for them to jump into business ownership without having to spend several more years doing research.
Right.
Choosing a franchise still requires lots of due diligence, of course, but the biggest bonus of franchising is that it's a proven system. For a lot of women, especially those supporting a family, knowing they won't have to make the same mistakes the franchise's founders did is key, she says.
Yeah, well said. You know, I mean, absolutely. You say it every show.
Right, yeah. It's all franchising also plays to several traits women tend to have. Women are natural networkers, a skill that's fundamental to becoming a successful franchisee. Being the new business owner in town, explained Sheets, means going out into the community, introduce yourself, and attending events. Women tend to be good at networking within the business community and sustaining a support system for both men and women.
Yeah, women, a lot of our guests on our show do say that. They echo those words, don't they, Don? You know, a lot of times,
right.
But you know how important it is to just get out into the community, you know, and just let people know that you're there, you know, introducing yourself and networking. So, yeah, it is an important part of a lot of franchises, not all, but some of them, yeah.
It says that Two Men in a Truck, Sheets has also noticed that women are very good at managing other people, an ability that's vital to training and retaining employees. Most women have been yelling and telling their husbands what to do for years, so it sounds like a fit, right?
Sure.
It goes on. Nikki Sells spent 14 years as a franchisee herself and is currently vice president of franchise development at Tasty Delight, a soft serve frozen dessert franchisor. Now, I'd like to get them on the show. Very up and coming, nice franchise.
Right.
She's been firsthand seen some of the strengths and weaknesses women and men bring to the table as franchisees. When women find the right brand for themselves, that passion transfers to the business, says Sells, who believes that women have the ability to be passionate about whatever business they own, be it a frozen yogurt shop or a janitorial service. They're great ambassadors for their brands. They talk about it, they live it, they breathe it. Another advantage of franchising is that it gives women a way to leave the corporate world behind and take charge. Franchising offers that opportunity to really create their own destiny and call their own shots, she says, who believes that in the corporate world, women still face real obstacles in some industries. As franchisees, women have the opportunity to own their own progress 100%, be it success or failure.
That's interesting points, you know. I mean, you know, we got to have some more women franchisees on the show as well, don't we?
Right, yeah, good point.
You know, so good job, Don, once again. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats, and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we're excited about this morning's show. We're meeting with Dean Hant of the Good Feet Franchise Opportunity. And Good Feet products were designed by an expert team of foot specialists and researchers and are worn, approved, and recommended by physicians, chiropractors, and podiatrists. Hey, Dean, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Dean, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to wish Dean a good morning. I know it's pretty early where Dean is today, so.
Hey, Dean, thanks. Hey. Appreciate you getting up early and coming on the show. We've, like Marty said, we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's in San Diego, it's never too early to get up, except in June, you know, we've got the June gloom going on, so.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I should have stayed in bed another hour or so. But.
thanks again, Dean. Dean, what were you doing before joining the Good Feet Franchise Opportunity?
Before Good Feet, I was actually in radio for about 17 years, and radio and TV, did a little bit of TV also, left radio for just a little bit to actually be involved with a staffing franchise, and then went back to the radio business. So that I was in sports play-by-play and all that wonderful stuff in radio, so it was a good time.
That's fantastic.
You must really like what we're doing then, Dean.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. You guys let me hang out with you every day. That'll be fun.
Oh, you got it.
Talk to us a little bit about the history of Good Feet, Dean, and when the company started franchising.
Okay. Well, you know, Goodfeet is really, really, I think, kind of a baby yet as far as franchising. 2004 is when we actually started to franchise. Before that, guys like me got into Goodfeet as a dealer. I mean, I started Goodfeet back in 2002, and it was kind of an interesting deal. We just had to buy the product, and we were a dealer. So there wasn't a lot of systems in place, and I think you could have traveled the country and found 30 or 40 different store designs and a lot of different things going on.
Yeah.
But, 2004, a couple of gentlemen purchased the company and made it a franchise.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was really unique going back prior to that because, truly, you could travel the country, and still today you can travel the country and you'll find a couple stores here and there that you
right.
just wonder, you know, what year was this done, you know? So
yeah, no, it's true. And Don was just complaining about his feet this morning, Dean. So,
yeah,
you know, my dad has always, you know, as long as I can remember, has always had problems with his feet, you know, so I know he's listening this morning as well, you know, so.
Yeah.
Just an incredible market. Up to
yeah.
what, about 90% of Americans at some time will have problems with their feet. So, I mean, a lot of potential you know, clients out there, of course.
Yeah, that was an interesting statistic, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting too. Is my wife and I are kind of in the healthy world too. We kind of keep track of that information. You guys know this too, that, you know, obesity is becoming such a huge problem
yes.
across the U.S. It always has been,
yeah.
but I think 30% of the population is obese. You know, kids are overweight,
right.
and you know the bad part about that is that extra weight is putting pressure on the knees, you know, the hips, the back, and the feet, People need something to support the feet because they just continue to flatten out as
right.
people get older.
True.
Or just the popularity of sports in the country. Imagine so many injuries, you know, involving the foot, ankle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting on that, too. The sports, work-related type of injuries, too. I do a lot of research to find out where some of our niches might be and stuff, but go on to workers' comp or OSHA.com and they'll show that 45% of all work-related injuries are, you know, in the lower half of the body and related to back strains, related to foot, you know, foot injuries from standing.
Right.
Most of these, you know, these companies that people stand for 8 to 12 hours a day, well, eventually it's going to take a toll on their feet and their knees and their back.
Right.
So how, Dean, do you how do you describe the Goodfeet franchise system to a prospective franchisee?
Wow, that's a big one. it's you know, actually, I would say it's very simple. And that, I think the reason that that I like it, not, of course, when I got in, it wasn't a franchise, but the thing I like now about it being a franchise, it's so simple. There's not a lot of moving parts. It's easy to operate because you don't have to hire. I don't know if you've been into any of our stores, but typically we're going to have one or two people in the store. It's not a business where you need a whole bunch of staff. The store design itself, you know, like if you open a restaurant or something like that, you got to have a kitchen and you got to have, you know, special codes and all that stuff. All we need is a box, a vanilla shell with a wall, and that's how the store is laid out. And it's very simple. It's very simple to get open. And then we're dealing with pain, and people come into a store in pain, they want a solution today.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can provide them with that solution today, it is a lot easier to sell. Anybody in pain is very easy to sell. If you can take that pain away today, it's amazing how and they tend to spend more money, you know.
Yeah.
You talk about the sports people, it's a little bit harder to sell somebody like myself. I run marathons, and you know, hopefully I'm pretty healthy, but I don't experience a lot of pain. Of course, I wear the arch supports, but if somebody like me that's always exercising stuff, they're a little bit more healthier, it's a little bit harder to sell them because, yeah, they're not really in pain, so you sell them that angle is a little bit more difficult. But the other thing about our franchise that I think we made a really good move a couple years ago was we signed Emmett Smith as our national spokesperson.
Yeah, Don and I were excited to talk to you about that too.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, the guy is the other thing that I really like about Emmett is he actually wears the product, and he's been called on it a couple times at some of his golfing events. And he's actually pulled the arch supports out and said, yep, I wear them. So,
wow, what a great endorsement. Yeah. Wasn't he on one of the dancing shows, too? Dean.
Yeah.
I know my mom and dad watched. Yeah. That's what, you know. And I said, God, what, I mean, here's a guy who was really on his feet. You know, I mean, practicing.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get to see the show, but I know. You know, my parents were saying that he was on it. You know, so. Yeah,
that's how we actually we approached him was wasn't, you know, because of his football background. It was because every night on the, after Dancing with the Stars,
right,
he would complain about his feet. And
oh, sure.
One of our people here said, "Hey, Emmett Smith was on last night, and
right,
I heard you guys talking about women earlier, and you know, I guess a little bit more of a majority of our customer and owners are a little bit more women because they understand the whole thing a little bit better, but." The women really know who Emmett Smith is, and, you know, it's hard to kind of say, well, he's a football guy. Why would they know him? Well, they know him from the Dancing with the Stars.
Right. They know him now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, after being on the show, you know, it's something. And this is, you know, one of the things that intrigued me about your franchise, too, Dean, is that it is the simplicity of it. You know, I mean, I think that those are the best franchise models is when it's simple. You know, when it gets too complicated, it doesn't really make a good franchise model, you know. So, you know, I thought that was certainly to your advantage to have that. You know, as you said, describe it as it is a simple concept, but you know the market seems to be huge.
Yeah, the of course you guys know the baby boomers represent the largest sector of the population right now, and they've been on their feet for 50 years, and they're shot. It's time to fix their feet, their knees, their hips, and back. And baby boomers have the most income available, and. So it's a pretty exciting and then again going back to the obesity, the other thing about with the obesity is diabetes, and with diabetes comes a lot of health concerns, and you know, I've seen some amazing stories in my stores. You know, I'm a franchisee myself, and I've seen some amazing stories of people that walk in with issues, and they come back 6 months later. I'm like, wow, this is not the same person, you know.
Right. Wow.
So, because they were just able to start walking and exercising, and all of a sudden things are better. So.
Yeah. So it's a feel good franchise too. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, knowing that yes, you are making money, but you're also providing a valuable service, you know, to your clients.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's part of the interest. You know, really, when it comes to, you know, who might get into Goodfeet. It's interesting. It used to be Goodfeet grew. Us owner guys, we just kept buying up more territories and opening more stores. And we also saw a lot of people that were coming in were people that had bought the product. And they're like, wow, this product changed my life. Now I want to own one of these stores.
Right.
So that's always how we've always grown was internally, and now we're starting to branch out because, as you guys know, the economy's kind of changed everything, so it's time to get a little more aggressive with selling franchises.
Absolutely.
And who are some of your franchisees, Dean? It seemed like a fit that a podiatrist would, you know, be a franchisee. Is that happening, or is that something that you'll be going after?
No, yeah, that's a good question. We've got some chiropractors that really, really understand the whole anatomy situation and how an arch support can change. In fact, two of our more successful franchisees are chiropractors. You know, podiatrists, it's interesting. We're starting to work more with podiatrists in our stores. We do a thing called foot checks where the podiatrists in different markets will come into the store and you know, do a foot exam, and they get some patients, and we get some customers, and that relationship seems to be working. I think at first, when we first started, it's easy to see our product is an instant relief to somebody's pain. It was bound to start taking away some business from the podiatrists.
Right.
You know, same thing with chiropractors. Chiropractors also sell some foot devices, and that's bound to take away from the podiatrist business. And I think at first, I think our type of model was maybe a threat to the podiatrist.
That's what I was thinking at first. When you said podiatrist on, I was like, they're probably afraid of this type of technology, you know, or, you know.
Yeah, I became a certified podorthist, who is somebody that's able to actually, if a podiatrist, you go to a podiatrist and they say you need a orthotic, I can fill that prescription. It's a custom-made product, and I wanted to find out, you know, what's the big deal, what's the difference. You know, and some podiatrists will actually do that themselves in their practice, and then there's others that will send that out to somebody else, a guy like me, to actually have them made. But I've seen my wife and I, when we opened our first store out way out in Fargo, North Dakota, we that always gets a laugh just saying Fargo,
sure,
but but we had a really good working relationship with the president of the North Dakota Podiatric Association. And then we got to our bigger market in Minneapolis, and it was too big to go in and sit down with podiatrists and try to build a relationship.
Right,
so
right.
I think that has a lot to do with it too. If you get into the smaller markets, it's easier to become, you know, a partner, if you will, with them.
That's interesting. What about location? Do you know? I mean, is there an ideal location that you want the franchisee should be in?
Yeah, we used to. You know, that's another interesting thing is over the years what we've seen. When we first got in as dealers, it was like, okay, get a destination location because people will come and find you, and they did.
Right.
We used to have people drive across the state of North Dakota to come to our Goodfeet store in Fargo. I mean, all the way across the state. And then we figured out, well, wait a minute, we need to be more like a like a retail business, and we need to have better locations because we spend a lot of money advertising. Why not take real advantage of that advertising? So now we're A++ locations. We want to be in the best location, the corner. You know, we don't go into big closed strip malls. We go into the little strip malls that are next to the big malls.
Makes sense, right?
So that's kind of a, you know, I think everybody's doing that now. If you look at, you know, some of the franchises, because our customer, being a little bit older, doesn't like all the cluster and confusion of those big malls. So they want to be able to drive right up to the front door, get out, and go in the store.
Exactly. One of the questions we've been asking recently on the show, Dean, has technology played a role in your business?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that one a lot because we've tested some devices in the stores. If you go into some of the shoe stores now, they've got a scanning device you can step on that will, you know, tell you your shoe size, and it'll, you know, it can actually print out something, and it can tell you that you might need some kind of orthotic device.
Wow.
We use a device that's old school, if you will. It's called a Harris mat, and it's an ink pad, and I think it's probably as old as the guy that originally made arch supports back in 1948.
Wow.
But it's kind of it's a unique little deal we've got. We tried the electronic things in the stores, and they just, you know, people just didn't have that personal touch. But the other area I see that it really is going to affect our business, of course, is the internet. And we, you know, in our stores, we custom fit the product. And the internet confuses people because people think, oh, wow, I can go online and I can buy some kind of device now for anywhere from $20 to $200. Why should I go into a brick and mortar?
Right.
That's where I see the challenge is that we have a presence on the internet now. We were afraid of it. We don't sell over the internet, but we do have a presence to try to get people into the brick and mortar because, you know, going back to what makes our model so unique is that we custom fit that product, and we got to have your foot in the store to do that, to do it right.
That's interesting. So, it's kind of like going to the dentist, I guess.
Dentist can propose himself
on the internet, but you can't get your teeth done on the internet.
Or glasses, right?
Exactly,
I can get. I know what I need. I know what I like. If I want to log on, I can probably purchase some frames, but I can't really figure out exactly what that little lens is supposed to have for each eye.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. It's a pretty big industry, too, Dean. Are there any numbers? I'm sure the numbers are always changing with this kind of industry, but any stats on how big the industry actually is?
Oh, no, you know, that's a good question.
It's a billion-dollar market, it sounds like.
You know.
It was shot in the dark, you know.
You know, it's interesting. Over the last couple of years, taking this CPED training that I went through to become a certified podiatrist, I had to hang out in some little, you know, warehouses where they actually manufacture some of the different gadgets, and you find out that this little building is pumping out, you know, X million dollars a year, and you go, wow, I mean, these guys don't even exist, and they're doing this amount of money. So
amazing. Yeah,
it's pretty big. Yeah,
it
it's pretty big.
That's good enough. Dean, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Yep, you bet.
That's fantastic. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. If you ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we got a great show today. We're meeting with Dean Hand of the Good Feet Franchise Opportunity, and I think you're up, Don. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dean, what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since joining Good Feet?
That's a good one. I would say... let me give you a quick background. I come from a very small town out in North Dakota, and again, I was in radio and all this stuff, and I had never, you know, in my lifetime as a radio announcer, you guys might know some of this, you don't make a lot of money, and I didn't make a lot of money, and the first store that we opened in Fargo, we made more money per month in that store than I had made in a year working in radio, and then we went to Minneapolis. And then we were doing millions of dollars of business, and it was just my wife and I were like, wow, this is crazy. We never thought that we'd be dealing with this kind of money, let alone a lifetime, but we're doing this every year.
Amazing.
So it was just crazy, and it was exciting. Obviously, it was fun, you know, to go from nothing.
Right.
I had no degree. I have no degree in anything. My wife has a degree in corporate fitness, but that's why you guys, I hear your line there, something to do with your dreams come true or something. And that's the exciting thing about, I think, any business, owning your own business is that no matter what you were or where you came from, it's possible to be very successful. So
great, it's inspirational.
Good point.
Yeah.
What types of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee right now, Dean?
Well, besides money, I was making a list of some ideas that, sales, I think, is probably the biggest thing. And you know, we're not looking for, this isn't like, you know, aggressive car sales type sales that we're talking about, sales that wear well, salespeople that if you come in and you've had, you know, 10 years of sales, you understand the need for a sales process of assessing the customer, handling objections, and closing the sale. Because you'd be amazed at how many people, when I visit the stores across the country, not just our stores, but any store, be amazed at how many people don't even ask for a sale, you know, when you're that's what they're supposed to do. So we really look for people that have some kind of sales background. Obviously, things have changed. When I got in as a dealer, I don't think that they would have let a guy like me in now as a franchisee, you know, because I didn't have a lot of experience. And what did I know about anything? And now I think it helps. In this world, you got to know something about business. We have two different models that I would say that we currently run across the country. One is the mom and pop, where a husband and wife might own a store in a city or in a market, and that's all they do is they just run that store. And then we've got another half of our franchisees that are multiple store owners like myself, who maybe live in one city or state, and they have stores in this state and stores in this state, and they run it as a business. So if it's the mom and pop, they really got to have the sales thing down. And, you know, multiple store owners got to have the business thing down. And then the big clincher is customer service experience. Because if you buy our product and you walk out, we have to follow up with you to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to. And if you're not good at that, if you're not good at, you know, calling people back and say, hey, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Then you're going to have problems with your customers. And, it, you know, and everybody talks about, oh, we have a good customer service thing. But we really have to. Otherwise, you're not going to be successful in this business. If you can't call the customers and help them walk them through this process, you're going to have problems. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. That's interesting. What was that training like for new franchisees, Dean?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
The training. How would you describe the training for new franchisees?
Okay, the training is, we've improved our training quite a bit. It used to be you come out here to Goodfeet in Carlsbad for a week and hang out and learn about the products, and then you'd go open your store. And we've added to that a professional sales training program that, I don't know if you've heard of the Friedman Group out in Los Angeles, but we are sending our salespeople through this. It's called Project Gold Star program, and we're going to teach that type of program now to franchisees, and it's a sales program. It's not Goodfeet, it's sales. And then what we also, so that's first part is you come here, you learn a sales program and the business, and then we come out to your, when you get ready to open, we come to your location and we work with you some more, and then there'll be another visit about a month later because, you know, as you go, obviously, after being open for a while, the person is going to uncover some things they didn't know, so we want to kind of go back and how's it going? And so it's about a four-visit type training program.
That's great. Is there a typical day? I know there's different business models for franchisees, but how would you describe, like, a typical day for franchisees?
That was another thing I was thinking about last night. As an owner up when I was back in Minnesota, actually running my stores on site, my typical day, I wasn't one of those guys that was on the floor every day. I'd be driving around the cities at night, taking product to the stores. I would do things like, and this is what you do when you're kind of a mom and pop.
Right.
I'd go in after hours and I'd do the carpets myself, and I was doing all kinds of little things to just kind of, you know, watch the pennies, and that's what I like to do. Some owners will be on the sales floor all day because that's the mom and pop version is
right.
they go in and they work and they sell our supports all day, and that's what they do. The guys that now run the stores from a distance, you know, like me, I have another job. I work here at the corporate offices, and I monitor my stores. You know, I can log on right now and hear and see what's going on out in Minnesota.
Wow.
And you have to have really good people working for you to do that. So, you know, it's
interesting part of the technology too, Dean. I guess you know is that you can do that from, you know, California. You know, and look into the store in Minnesota. It's really quite amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, the fact that I can look and see, you know, every live sale and every every person that's in the store and what's going on. And it's not that expensive either. I mean, it's gotten to the point where you can get these IP addresses and stuff like that. That, I mean, even getting a server set up now is pretty easy to do. So.
Incredible, yeah.
What time, Dean, do most franchisees have the store open till?
Most of them are just like a 10 to 6. I mean, the nice thing about that, too, is, again, our hours are, you know, they're really friendly.
That's what I was getting at. It seemed like really business hours could be attractive for a new franchise owner.
Yeah, and, you know, we choose, my wife and I in our stores, we choose not to be open on Sundays, and there's a lot of owners that choose not to be open on Sundays, and there's a lot of owners that choose not to be open, you know, some of them are closed 2 days a week. Because it's the thing about this pain industry is that people will find you if they need your product, and you know, the retail world says, well, yeah, you got to be open every day, but, well, you know, again, if you really all you want to do is make lots and lots and lots of money, then be open 24 hours a day, and you won't have a life, right?
Exactly.
So, but most of us owners choose to do a 10 to 6 and be closed on Sundays and have a life. And that's the other thing. Going back to your original question about how do we describe the business, you get to actually have a personal life instead of being married to the business.
True.
So.
Let me, you know, with your business background, Dean, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise?
I would try to find something with less, you know, stick with the less moving parts, because the more moving parts, the more problems and headaches, and again, the more you end up getting, you know, tied and married to that business where it's all you do.
Right.
And by moving parts, I believe that really includes employees. The more employees you have, the more headaches you have.
Sure.
And then the other thing is margins. I want a product that I can make money off, and we have great margins on this product, and it's hard to find out there some products, you know, with really, really, really good margins. It's hard to find that. So
that's interesting. What are the Goosey's plans for the future, Dean? I mean, how big would you guys like to get?
Yeah. Right now I think we're right around 140, 142 or something like that. We've had a couple of new franchise in the last couple of months, but our goal is to have a Good Feet store in every designated market area in the country, and I think there are, you know, 250 different designated market areas. So our goal is to have at least a store in each of those markets, and we've got a ways to go because there's a large, I would say, over 50% of the DMAs we don't have a store in right now. We've got some, you know, the state of California is completely covered because that's where Good Feet started.
Right.
State of Florida, completely sold out. But there's a lot of areas that we didn't have a franchise sales department before. All of our sales were coming from, again, guys like me that owned a store that decided to open another store, and the growth has come internally. So, you know, our goal. The other thing, I don't know if you guys know this about our model, is that we sell designated market areas, and so in other words, if you buy, say you buy the city or the Austin territory, you don't have to worry about another Good Feet store coming in there, because we're selling you, you know, all the counties around the city of Austin. You know, it's not like we're selling you a neighborhood. The only exception to that, of course, would be like New York, because, you know,
right,
New York's
right.
got enough people up there to probably have 14
sure.
stores. So
oh, absolutely. That's fantastic. How can our listeners get more information on becoming a Good Feet franchisee, Dean?
Sure.
A website they can go to?
Yeah, well, we've got the goodfeetfranchise.com website. It has phone numbers and information about rates and all that stuff. So that would be the place to start.
Okay, that's fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Dean. You've been a fantastic guest, and we'd love to have you back in the future. Maybe you can bring Emmett with you next time on the show.
I will do that.
That's fantastic.
Thanks
so much again, Dean. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting
franchise.
Concept.
Yeah.
I like the simplicity of it. You know, I mean, it really is a very basic model, as he was describing it, you know. And I was thinking, you know, when he was describing the franchise concept, I don't know if you remember, we had Kevin Hine on our show probably like a year or so ago, and he was talking about what makes a concept franchisable, you know, and
right.
This is really one of those perfect concepts, you know, because it
nice
really
business
is so
hours,
simple.
Yeah,
it's just fantastic. So we're going to have to keep our eye on them, and we'll have them back again in the near future.
Definitely. Great job, Marty.
Great job, Don, and I'll be talking to you again next week, and thanks everyone for listening, and again, go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, and franchisefunding.net, and we'll see everybody next week. Thanks again, everyone.
Take care.
Take care, Don.
Bye-bye.